Welcome to another podcast from the New America Foundation.
Welcome to the Early EdWatch podcast. I'm Laura Bornfriend, policy analyst for the Early Education Initiative at the New America Foundation. Today we are speaking with Dr. Ramona Paul, former Assistant State Superintendent of Public Instruction in Oklahoma, and she just recently retired here in January of this year. Dr. Paul began her work to build Oklahoma's public early childhood education system about 30 years ago, and today Oklahoma is often recognized for both the number of four-year-olds that are served by publicly funded pre-K programs and for the quality of those programs. And we're happy to have Ramona here with us today to talk about Oklahoma's early childhood education programs for four-year-olds and for three-year-olds, and about a new infant toddler three-year-old teacher certification Oklahoma is offering. Welcome, Ramona.
Thank you very much. I'm pleased to be a part of today's program.
Great. Well, to start, I'd just like to talk about Oklahoma's four-year-old program, and as I understand it, Oklahoma has provided publicly funded pre-K programs since the mid-80s or so. Can you tell me a little bit about Oklahoma's model?
Yes, actually when we wrote the initial standards in 1980, I won't go through the complete process of when we finally, the legislature did funding for all children, but the original standards were written for all children. So that has been the concept from the beginning. That didn't happen all the years. But in 1998, the legislature, Oklahoma legislature, did fund the program for all children. So now here we are in 2011, and 75% of our four-year-olds are attending our public schools. And the standards that we set then are still the standards now, and those are the highest standards that we have set in this country. We're very proud of that. Our quality standards include having specific standards for the teacher to be responsible to teach to in the areas of emotional and intellectual, physical development. And then every teacher is an early childhood certified teacher. That means they have a bachelor's degree, and then they have special training in early childhood, just like if you were a chemistry teacher, you would have certification in chemistry. And going along with that, because it is in the public school institution, these teachers are just like any other teacher in our schools, and they receive the salary and the benefits. So Oklahoma really added a grade at the lower level, and the only difference between the four-year-old program and the kindergarten program in first grade is that four-year-olds, it's all voluntary participation on the part of the parents deciding for their children to attend. So it's been very successful, and we truly believe that much of that success is because of the very high standards. Mm-hmm. And the other part of that program that we're so proud of is the collaboration. We've started from very early on collaborating with that, and I'll try to be that real succinct about that. But say, for instance, in child care, public school hires the teacher and sends the teacher to the child care center. So if it's a half-day program, for a half-day, that center turns into a public school. And so the children are served at their center, not having to be transported to another facility. Most recently, we have corporate space. American Fidelity Insurance Company has two classrooms that mean four half-days. And so we're excited about that participation in their major corporate building. Also in January, just this past month, a school district opened five classrooms in a vacant strip shop shopping mall. There was a vacancy in the space, and they converted it, and the whole mall is all for the children. Uh-huh. That's very, very exciting. And the other area that we're so pleased about is we have assisted living retirement facilities in Oklahoma in three different cities that have added early childhood programs to their facilities, and those have been highly successful. So the collaboration also is a very important economic factor in saving cost and also the social issues with the other people that are involved. So it's been very something that we have enjoyed, this success, and obviously when you have 75% voluntary participation, that tells you that parents like the program and school people do also. And the numbers would be even a little bit higher. The suburban school districts still struggle with space, but my answer is we can find space, which we now are doing, you know, in corporate spaces and shopping centers, which is interesting. So we're just moving along and serving the children of Oklahoma well.
Was space one of the reasons for moving into assisted living facilities, or what, I guess, led to that sort of collaboration? Because that's a real interesting one.
Well, actually, it was initiated by the owner of the facility. And initially, when the four-year-old program was started in the public schools, a facility was across the street from an elementary school. Mm-hmm. So he decided it would be good if his individuals, who were mobile, could go across the street to the school and participate with the four-year-old children. And then it occurred that, why wouldn't this be a case to bring the children to the adults? So he built an educational facility room, an outdoor classroom that has a glass wall so that all those individuals who are not mobile, they're in wheelchairs and so forth, can go and watch the children through the glass. So it really, that idea came from the owner of the retirement facility himself, and it has now spread. He's doing that more in other facilities that he has, and then other communities, Bartlesville, Oklahoma, and Enid, Oklahoma, have now added programs, facilities and programs to facilities that they have. In Enid, there's one that's a private facility, and the other one is with the Methodist Church. Mm-hmm. And again, the individuals that are in the initial facility, the assisted living or retirement facilities, it's such a joy to them, and they can interact with the children. And in fact, the first one that started, they had the four-year-old program, and then they added kindergarten. So they have four-year-olds and kindergartens, both at that facility in Jinx, Oklahoma, which is just a suburb of Tulsa. And no one ever wants to leave the school. They love being there.
Sure. And for the programs that, I know you mentioned private facilities or, you know, the assisted living facilities, how do they sign agreements to follow certain state standards or?
Yes, we don't have an arbitrary contract because we find each situation is somewhat different, so we've been very flexible with that. But once any organization, any group, I didn't mention Head Start. My goodness, we have collaborations all over the state with Head Start. Once we start any kind of a collaboration, then that entity has to agree to follow the rules of the State Department of Education of the Oklahoma program. And that's been very successful. So, for instance, with Head Start, that has not yet been able to have certified teachers in all their classrooms, when we collaborate with the Head Start program in a local community, that teacher then will become an early childhood certified teacher, either through them or through the public schools. And so we're raising standards and not costing additional kind of funds to go into that. And then that transportation cost is a huge issue, too, that I mentioned, particularly with child care. But whomever we agree cooperate with, they must follow the rules and follow the standards. And we have not had any objection. You know, we have programs in churches, child care centers in churches, so we're accessing the church space, accessing the child care center, and all those agreements have been made. Churches have been wonderful with their facilities. They sometimes have to cover things on their walls to do the separation of church and state. But again, everybody sees such benefits, anticipates, I guess I should say, such benefits, and then ultimately they do see such benefits that any kind of a little problem, it just works itself through. In the early stages, we did lots of conversation with child care and Head Start, and we spent a lot of hours. When you collaborate, it takes a great deal of time and a lot of conversation. So now we're kind of coasting and moving along very nicely. But it can be done, and is a very exciting project to see the different entities coming together, working for the children in a community to make the quality of their life better.
Sure. So over, you know, all of these years, what do you think, or why do you think that funding and expanding pre-K in Oklahoma has remained such a high priority?
Well, it's been an interesting phenomenon. Many people have asked that, and And the best answer that, at least that I think I can give, is that, first of all, we had the very highest of standards. And in the business world, one knows that when you have the very highest standards and you have the very best product, people will come. And so that would be my initial thought, that with the highest standards being offered to the children, then people wanted to come. And as a result of that, it's just continued to grow and grow, so that you don't want to miss out. You want your child to be there and see the difference. And I've had so many conversations with people who just are so excited about the quality. And we still have a lot of education to do in the United States of America about how important it is to have the teachers with our young children to have very specific high-quality training so that our children can have the best opportunities for learning in very appropriate developmental play environments, mm-hmm. not structured, not academic. I refer to intellectual development that's very creative and very stimulating, which then prepares them to move into the more academic world as they move up the grades.
Right, right. And, you know, I have a question about, you know, how they fare in the later grades. So I was, you know, looking up about Oklahoma, and in 2009, fourth graders scored just below the national average on the NAEP for reading and math. So what do you think needs to happen in the early grades to better build upon the strong foundation that, you know, is trying to be set in the pre-K programs?
Well, that's a big question that many people ask. It's not a simple answer, but one thing that is sort of a simple answer is that if you do the very best and have the highest standards and the very best teachers at every level with children in the four-year-olds, and you do what children should do when they're four, and they can accomplish that, then when they go to kindergarten, the next goal is to accomplish all the goals and standards of kindergarten. That gets you ready for first grade, and then you sequence right on. Now, what happens sometimes along the way is that we say, oh, well, you know, they maybe didn't get it, we move on. We're going to have to back up and be slow and give the extra time perhaps that's needed. In Oklahoma, we're a very, very high poverty state, mm-hmm. so we have many issues of when families perhaps are not able, not because they don't want to, they just aren't able to always provide the very best for their children. So then in my view, it becomes our responsibility to work with them, help them, and help them learn. And I don't have any research on this, but I have many anecdotal stories of school districts saying that with parents starting with their children at four, their parental involvement has increased significantly. And that's it. When you send your four-year-old off to school, you're very, very attached, and you don't want to know what's going to happen. And also, early childhood teachers are well-trained and prepared to welcome parents, share with parents, and help parents to know how to do a greater job of parenting. And we all need that kind of help. We all need that help all the time, as a parent, as a grandparent, aunt, uncle. So it's a big question, but we're making progress, and we think it will help our culture and help our children to be more successful. So reading is very important, and then I have to also say playing with blocks is very important if you want to learn math.
Right, right. Well, let's talk about three-year-olds.
Okay.
So what was the impetus for developing a publicly funded three-year-old program?
Well, a few years ago, the state legislature provided a private-public partnership, and so they put funds into a program for children zero, birth to three, and then the private had to match that 2-to-1. So that was the beginning, and initially that program had around 2,000 children in it. And so that's been very successful, and then primarily under the leadership of George Kaiser in the George Kaiser Family Foundation out of Tulsa and the Inasmuch Foundation in Oklahoma City, we have three EduCare centers in Oklahoma, one in Oklahoma City, two in Tulsa, and that's another large body of about 200 children in each of those facilities that are birth through three-year-olds, so that continuum moves right on into the four-year-old program in the public schools. So we saw a growing number of young children, and we have had since in the 80s what we call a pre-K through third grade certificate It really begins with birth and goes through the third grade. But not until recent times has there been a real marketplace for a certified teacher in that birth, infant, toddler, three-year-old group to have very specific training. It's primarily started with the four-year-olds. So as we've watched that grow in Oklahoma, it seemed it would be appropriate to have another certificate, because it's an overlap, but this one that would focus on the infant, toddler, and three-year-olds, and we call it the IT3. One of my young staff members named it that. I like that, the IT3.
Right.
And so if you are a graduate in a typical program of early childhood, child development, family development, it's not in the College of Education, but in one of those areas that I mentioned that's very concentrated and you've had very high specialized courses and work with infants, toddlers, and three-year-olds, then with that college degree and some assessments that teachers have to take, they are then eligible to also be a certified teacher with our very, very youngest children. And it's been successful, and just yesterday I was with our former governor's wife, Kim Henry, our outgoing governor that just went out of office. He was termed out. Mm-hmm. Governor Brad Henry and his wife Kim have been super advocates of early childhood, and he has been a great supporter of three-year-olds, and so with stimulus money, which now would be about a year ago, he took the stimulus, some of his stimulus money, $15 million, matched it with, again, the George Kaiser Foundation in Tulsa with $15 million, $2 million from the Tulsa Public Schools, and facilities will be opening this fall, 2011, okay, for 600 three-year-olds in Tulsa.
Okay.
So that, again, says the need for our program. And many of our two-year colleges in Oklahoma, we have a strong two-year college system in Oklahoma, as many states do. And so many of those students actually come from that two-year program, move into the four-year program, and they have strong background preparation. So it's a whole new marketplace, and everybody seems to be excited about it and looking forward to it. So we're seeing the first people getting their certificates. There's a few that have come through, some that have actually already had that degree and now can come and get the certificate, and then the ones that are in college and will be coming out to be able to have those job opportunities.
Now, for to work with infants, toddlers, and three-year-olds in, you know, public programs, could teachers also have the pre-K through third, or which is actually
yes,
birth through
yes, third?
Okay.
They can have either one,
okay,
but many times, because the other one goes up through the third grade, persons who want to do the very youngest children may not really want to have that much, the high skills that you need for first, second, and third grade.
Right.
Now, I think, and I say this in general, that most of, at least our programs in Oklahoma, that do the infants and toddlers, they still have a lot of information that has to do with the kind of things you do with all children in relation to pre-reading skills, which for infants, toddlers, and three-year-olds is primarily a great deal of literacy, talking, readings to stories. So there's a great deal of emphasis of things that then strongly impact what happens with children when they're in kindergarten, first, second, third grade.
Sure.
And that's a reason, another reason why it's so very important for them to have the knowledge that specifically will help our infants, toddlers, and threes, our IT3 children, to be ready for the academic world when they finally get there at first grade.
Right. So in your position as an assistant state superintendent, what, I have to ask you, what kept you up at night most?
What kept me up at night most? Well, it's hardly hard to say that a lot did keep me up at night, other than the excitement of how to keep it going and the collaboration. I guess I was so highly stimulated by the collaboration. And
yeah,
the people in Oklahoma, Child Care, Head Start, we'd come to the table and talk, and then sometimes somebody from out of state would say, oh, those people won't work with you, and I'm, yes, they will work you with you. You just call them and come to the table. You may need to call them and say, please come, because everybody's so busy in their world. Collaboration, you have to stop and take time to contact people and build relationships. But, you know, that's what happens with children, and how children learn and gain and improve is when there's relationships, too, among children as well as with the adults. So you have to do a lot of relationship building. Mm-hmm. So I guess if I did stay awake at night about it, that's probably it, because I was so stimulated just to how to keep it going and not lose the momentum. And the results have been great. And I never want to sound arrogant about it at all, but people do like the program and they value the program. And research absolutely supports what we are doing. And we have so much knowledge now in relation to the brain research and the creativity. So it's time for us to implement it and move on and have the very highest standards.
Right. Well, before we close, could you tell our listeners what's next for you?
What's next?
Yep.
Well, one is to maintain what we're doing, and then and as appropriate, to expand with the IT3 children as a program appropriate. I don't know if that will happen as much as it has with our other children, but where that's appropriate. And let me make it clear, that IT3 program, those are when the state funds flow through the State Department of Education. That's not a rule that impacts every program in the state of Oklahoma, like child care or what have you. They can do that if they want to, but they don't have to. But if they receive state funds that flow through the Department of Education under those rules, then they do have to follow the IT3 programs. I think our next movement continues to be, we have a lot of work on this whole country to work with our parents and help our parents. We have a new world. Parents work. The demands are great. I actually have always been a working mother, but I wanted to be a working mother. I was a college professor for many years, and then I got into public schools, have children. And so I'm aware of what the demands are when you're a working family. And now that's the world of everyone. And we must help them, and we must find ways to accommodate families and in any program that we're in to be more family-friendly so we can serve our children well, but also we must serve our parents well so they can be effective parents with our children.
Right. Well, Ramona, I'd like to thank you so much for joining me here today. I really enjoyed our conversation.
I appreciate being invited, and my very best to you.
Thank you.
And thank you.
To our listeners, before we close, I have a brief message about what you can find this week on the Early EdWatch blog. You'll find posts about the President's budget request for fiscal year 2012 and our analysis of how early education fares. You'll also find information about a few early education events coming up the first week of March. The Early Education Initiative would like to thank our funders. Our work is made possible through the generous support of the Foundation for Child Development, the W. Clement and Jesse V. Stone Foundation, and the A.L. Mailman Family Foundation. Thank you for listening. And once again, I'm Laura Bornfriend with the Early Education Initiative, and we'll be back in 2 weeks with another Early EdWatch podcast.
Thank you for listening to this New America Foundation podcast. This recording carries a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share-Alike 3.0 unported license. To learn more about the New America Foundation, please visit us at newamerica.net.